Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for episode 3 of the challenge. And again, it is me being joined by John Millsap for the recap of this episode. Another really fun episode of the challenge. Really getting into this. I was texting one of my friends who's a gigantic challenge person, and he said that he's been watching it for so long that it starts to feel stale because you're watching a lot of the same storylines play out over and over and over again. But as somebody who's watching this for the first time, I love it. I don't know the characters, so I feel like I'm meeting them for the first time. And I am very much into this, very much enjoying it. John, thanks for coming back. What did you think of tonight's episode?
Is that a great episode? A lot of fun. We definitely got a lot more of the MTV side of the show tonight, but a lot of interesting little interactions happening that are going to play out throughout the rest of the season for sure.
I have to say, I couldn't agree with you more on the whole, we got the MTV aspect, but I have to say, Josh might be the most thin-skinned person in the history of human beings. And I know that this is how they cast these types of shows. And I know that there's probably more being said than maybe we're being led on, but I will tell you what, I've had many a night in many a bar where I was doing exactly what Devin was just doing right there to somebody and being like, hit me, please hit me. Because the way our society works, and I think it's for the best, obviously you can't go around spewing racism or anything like that, but for the most part, you can say pretty much anything you want. And if somebody lays their hand on you, they're in the wrong. You can talk about somebody's mother. You can talk about somebody's father. You can cross any line you want. Hell, you can even say the words, Big Brother sucks, and they're not allowed to hit you. John, I've never watched Big Brother because personally, I think it sucks. Do you think I'm in danger of Josh showing up to my house and beating me up?
It might happen. I don't know. He seemed to really be offended by that. And he definitely took it a lot harder than any of those other Big Brother contestants in the house. To see someone jump like that when someone makes that quick little chirp like that and see it fester to the point where it's this huge conflict between both Josh and Devin, you could probably tell him he's smells a little bad and he might throw a swing at you.
Well, and I mean, he was literally saying, what's 8 times 9? What's 8 times 9? Just to piss him off. And I kind of get it, because being somebody who's 5'9" and has always been smaller than anybody else who's out there, the only way you're not going to be able to beat up a bigger kid, the only way to get under their skin, not a bigger kid, but a bigger person in general, if somebody's really antagonizing you and really thinks they're hot shit, the only way to get under their skin is to talk. And there is nothing more infuriating for a big, buff guy who is as thin-skinned as Josh is than to have a little twerp just constantly antagonizing them, because the twerp isn't backing down and you're supposed to be scary to them. Why are you not scared? And that's what kind of this felt like. So I guess Josh, it was more of a pride thing. But I mean, remember, this started off as Casey and CT arguing over who was using the oven. It had nothing to do with Josh and Devin.
Yeah. And for Josh just to get so offended that CT and Casey were having this little argument, to go to CT and say, Casey's crying in the kitchen because of you, and then getting mad at CT when CT goes to check to see if Casey's okay.
Well, and the exact words he used, and I remember you saying this, I think on the first episode recap we did, where you said that they will, the producers will sometimes actually call them out. Like when she kept calling Joseph Jacob or Josh or whatever she was calling him, they'll call them out. They showed the clip immediately of him saying she's in there crying. And this, again, this just feels like, it feels like high school. The big football player is mad that you're messing with the girl who he wants to sleep with, but he's just friends with. So leave him alone. And he goes, and it seems like it's genuine at first. And then it turns into this whole like ridiculous. I mean, he was chasing Devin around while Devin is smoking a cigarette, telling him to eat his ass. That is literally happening on our TV tonight. And it's absolutely hilarious. And I love like the people like Kyle and CT, who are just standing off to the side watching it. And I think CT has a line of, but he is funny though, because it's hilarious. I mean, for you to react like that is so immature, is so childish. And you know what? Like, I'm glad Devin stayed in tonight because I want to see Devin continue to troll Josh. What is Devin's line immediately after winning? F you, Leroy, eat my ass. He's telling people all over this place, and it's so immature, but you can't do anything about it because he just won the gold skull tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And he's feeling on top of the world. He takes a blow early on in the episode when he loses his partner. Mm-hmm. Still gets everyone turned against him because of his reaction to Josh. Mm-hmm. And then he puts his money where his mouth is and beats a perennial challenge competitor.
And so let's jump a little bit ahead here because obviously this is the freshest part, and it's kind of like how on the Survivor podcast, we just end up talking about the tribal council first and then work our way back. Does Wes throw this? Do we think Wes threw this in some way, shape, or form that he just really didn't want to be there, that he was not enjoying this season? Or did Wes really put all his might into this and Devin was just had more leg strength than Wes?
I think that it comes down to Wes was giving us a lot of this idea of, oh, how am I supposed to get motivated when I'm up against my friend and things like that? I think Wes was just tired of being targeted. Mm-hmm. And he knew that even if he won this one, he's just back there next time. Mm-hmm.
I am in agreement with you. Because as I was watching this, there's no way. Like at first I was like, oh, so they're just pulling on their own string. That's what it is. I thought I had understood the rules correctly. And then when they ran through the maze, I was like, oh, they're just on their own rope. And it's just kind of like having, like, I don't know if anybody's ever done leg workouts or anything. You get those bands that they have different levels, black, red, blue, whatever. And the black ones are really hard to do. So like you're really having to put a lot of muscle into it. I was like, oh, that's all it is. And then I'm sitting there and I'm watching with my sister and my girlfriend and they're both like, no, they're tied together. And I was like, Then why isn't Wes just dragging this man backwards? There's no way. And like, I ran cross country. I ran track and field. Like I did those things. I had really good leg strength. I had no upper body strength, but I had really good leg strength. Wes still would have wiped the floor with me because he can probably squat 400 pounds. So I don't understand what I just watched happen there. And the only thing I can come to the conclusion of, he didn't want to be there, wanted to go home. He wasn't enjoying being in the house. And he says, you know what, Devin, you've never won it. I'll let you keep going. And this way I'm just, you know, my feelings don't have to get hurt anymore. And I can go home and take a nap or something.
I think part of it is this challenge was probably a lot longer than it seemed like it was in the episode. There are times when they do this challenge and this challenge takes like an hour. Because it's two people just tugging on each other the entire time, right? And if you, when they were cutting to Wes towards the end of the challenge stuff, like he was pretty dug in there. So they probably spent a lot of time digging themselves in, slowly trying to inch together. And Wes was just getting to a point where he was tiring out. And he's like, I'm not really into this. Take it, Devin. See what you can do. Because I don't even think it's all that great for Devin to have won this because he's still going to have a target moving forward too.
Well, and I think that's why I personally wish he would have taken Cam tonight. I think that would have been absolutely hilarious. You take Cam and then Kyle and Natalie are teamed up and those are two people with gold skulls. So that probably puts a target on their back, but still it at least makes that happen. But if he takes Cam here, it's the ultimate middle finger to Leroy. Cause you say to him, you wanted me in here. You put Wes in here. You thought that I was going to go home, and now I have your girl on my side, and you can't even get rid of me. I wish he would have done that. I like the move of taking Tori, but like you said, Devin still has a massive target on his back, and working with Tori, I don't feel like people are as fearful of putting Tori and Devin in because Tori's not as tight with other people as Cam is. That would have been a real thing right there. You make that where you go in with Cam. They're going to have a hard time voting you in. I don't feel like they have as hard of a time with Tori.
Yeah, we haven't seen much of Tori, so we don't really know what she's doing in the house right now. Tori was very upset about it. So much so that she's like, don't touch me.
Crying.
Like, tries to hug her to be like, hey, we're partners now. But Corey's upset about it. Tori's upset about it. Everyone's upset about it. And yes, while taking Cam might have been the biggest F you to Leroy, I think the approach Devin's taking here is if I take Tori, who's another one of these pairs that's working with Cam and Leroy, and I have Kyle, one of my closest allies, already partnered with Cam, It's just about spreading out those alliances as much as possible.
That's a good point, because then you put, you take Cam and now Kyle's with Natalie. And so really all you did was switch it. So now instead of Wes and Natalie being teamed up, it's Kyle and Natalie being teamed up. That's still two people who aren't in the big alliance. So that is a good point. Is Tori the second biggest threat here, though, or not even threat, but is Tori like who you would say is the second most important female in that entire grouping?
Tori is an incredibly capable challenger. Mm-hmm. Like she made the final in her rookie season. She's probably one of the strongest women on this season. Mm-hmm. It's a strong call. It gives Devin a very good chance of winning double agent.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And that was one of my things. Cause what I found interesting, what I'm finding interesting about the show in general is Cam is the female star of this season, in my opinion. I think she is by far the biggest star. Lolo and Natalie are kind of the tier after that. The rest of the women we haven't heard a lot from, which I find interesting. Also, the fact that it's an MTV show, I figured that there would be a little bit more there. Mm-hmm. And Once Upon an Island, I miss you too. I figured there'd be a little bit more there. But the men are sitting around and they're saying, if we get our partners and I get my partner, and they're not even referring to them by name, and that's how it's going. So as somebody who's just coming into this for the first time, and again, I said, my friend is like, oh my God, I've seen this a million times. And I'm like, I haven't. This is the first time I've seen any of this. I don't know what's going on. So I'm watching this play out, and I'm trying to figure out which woman would have been the best woman to take. I don't really know. I know I'm not taking Teresa, and I'm not taking Gabby, and I'm not taking Amber M or Amber B. Mm-hmm. You can't take Casey. You're not going to take Liv, because is Liv even going to be able to get through the rest of this season? Yeah. We don't know. And so I just start saying to myself, well, who would I take? I guess Tori's the best move, but because so much focus has just been on Cam, I'm saying to myself, just take Cam, because that's really the only one I know. So I'm hoping that moving forward, it'll get a little bit different there, because I would like to see some of these other women and what they're really bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. Just so for my own sake, I can figure out what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. It's just going to be really interesting to see how Cam proceeds from here.
Yeah. Because
like Wes was clearly her big target going into this season. And is she just going to switch that target over to CT now? Mm-hmm. Because he's like another winner. And again, we're talking about winners. No one's mentioning Darrell still, who's won four, and he's won more than everyone else.
And is that because he's teamed up with a rookie? And the rookie is very unimposing. We found out tonight that Amber B played rugby, so maybe it does make a little bit of sense that she could be on this show and be somewhat competitive. I know we've been kind of trying to figure that out this entire time. But is that why? Because she's so unthreatening. They're like, we'll get Darrell later?
Maybe. The whole pair dynamic of this and the fact that you can switch partners is really interesting, because right now, it looks like Cam is trying to play a game to get Leroy set up for a final. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, it almost feels like she might be endangering her own game.
Agreed.
So how much is it worth it to get them out there when Cam's one of the top female competitors? Mm-hmm. She's done this as much as anyone else on here. She's strong. She has a chance of winning a final herself against this field. So is it worth it putting her neck out there to try to get Leroy to the win too?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, is she playing too complex of a game? Because we saw what happened tonight in a much lesser version when it came to Josh trying to play two people's games. He's trying to play for Casey and himself, and it shoots him not the foot or the leg. That might have been in the midsection. Like, Josh got shot tonight. Like, he got shot. But is Cam spreading herself too thin here to keep everything in motion? And at some point, do you have to say to yourself, you know what, like Survivor reference, I'm a Terry Dietz this, Nick, Aaron, Nick, Austin, Sally, you have to go because you're useless to me. Like, I can't help that. I need to play this for myself. I get wanting to keep Leroy around as long as humanly possible. But now you have Wes literally going out of the game saying, everybody target Leroy, which, you know, I don't think anybody's going to take Wes's word on it anyway, but still putting it in people's minds. He's teamed up with Leroy's teamed up with Casey, who had the drama going on. So I'm sitting here going to myself, how is Cam going to navigate this? Especially if people, now that this other alliance is getting really, really thin, who's Kyle aligned with? Kyle's not aligned with anybody.
No. I mean, like, Kyle and Devin, CT's backed himself right out of that. Mm-hmm. We saw that because he voted for Devin mm-hmm. tonight. But you have, the other thing is, like, that Big Brother alliance is so large. Mm-hmm. They're just going to have to start cannibalizing themselves sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Focusing on getting rid of this entire other alliance right away and giving them gold skulls in the meantime might seem a little short-sighted when we get to a point where everyone's scrambling for their own gold skulls.
Well, because the other problem is, too, what's going to happen, and granted, Devin right now, I mean, Devin's sitting here with Tori, so that's good. But what's going to happen if Devin and Tori end up being head of, you know, I don't want to call it head of house, but what happens if they end up being double agents here near the end? Devin's got a skull, Tori doesn't, and Devin mm-hmm. says, I'm not going in there. I'll let you two who don't have one battle it out. I feel like they're giving too much power to the people they're not aligned with. And I understand that the name of the game is you got to go down there. You got to win something at some point, some way, shape or form. It's got to happen. But I'm still like worried that now you have Natalie, CT and Devin are the three people with skulls. They're not in the alliance at all. So all three of them have skulls. How is the alliance going to make sure that none of them continue forward with these skulls? Like you're getting to the point now where you have no control over the skulls. You've put them all in. You're making them battle it out, but they have everything. If you get one more person in there, let's say Kyle has the skull, not CT. That was my bad.
Yeah.
Kyle has the skull. But what if CT now goes in with Big T and CT wins a skull? Now you have four people in that alliance that have skulls. Mm-hmm. Like you're running out of people to give the skulls to, and you're putting a lot of faith in we're going to beat them at some point during this. If they end up being the double agents, they don't have to make the decision of do I go in to try to get my skull? They already have their skull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on top of that, it's very dangerous giving these wins to players early in the game too. If you're not, I think the right way to play this is put the people who get the gold skulls in immediately over and over again mm-hmm. to try to break them. Because I think if you give them a gold skull early, you've just given them complete motivation to mm-hmm. keep pushing, and they're going to be a stronger competitor because of it. So you need to weaken them by putting them into elimination over and over and over again and try to take that gold skull from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But now, what happens if two people with gold skulls go against each other?
I don't know. We have to wait and find out.
Like, because
that's kind of the beauty of the challenge sometimes.
Yeah, because my thinking would be like if Devin now were to go up against Josh wins, mm-hmm. Josh gets Devin's skull. That would be my thinking. Yeah. He has one skull, so there's still just three skulls in play. There's not a fourth one, he doesn't get two. But if mm-hmm. Devin goes up against Kyle,
yeah,
does the winner of that get two skulls? Does a skull just get thrown back into the mix? Like, I don't understand that.
Or does it get removed completely and make it so someone can't compete in the final?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I feel like,
as well.
Do they like to have 10 in the final, though? Like, is that a thing where they generally do like five men, five women? Because I have tried to look in the past, and it seems like they always have multiple people in this final.
It depends. Most common number for a final is six.
Okay.
It depends how many like different points they're having. Usually, if there's more than six in a final, that means there's an elimination along the way.
Okay.
Where someone will get eliminated throughout the final.
Okay.
Last season, I think they ran with nine.
Which is weird.
There was one less woman.
Okay.
So it was four women, five guys, and then there was eliminations along the way.
Okay.
So we don't know exactly what the end game is because we haven't been told what it is yet.
Yeah.
My assumption would be, I think it's a safer bet to say if two people with gold skulls go in there, one of those gold skulls is taken out of the competition completely.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. See, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is it taken out or is it, but I like that. I think that would actually make it a lot better if it's just kind of moved. Like it's gone. Now you don't have a chance to do it. Sucks. You guys should have thought about that before you put that in there, because now that makes it even more difficult for these people. Cause you can't just start putting the people you don't like against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause if you start doing that, then you're going to lose.
Yeah. It's getting to a point where, I can't remember who said it tonight, but someone was like, oh, good. Well, Devin wins the gold skull. He's an easy person to beat. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Is he, though? Is anyone in this competition really an easy person to beat? You don't know what you're going up against all the time. And we have upsets in the challenge. We've seen it time and time again. So there's no layup. Yes, maybe going against Joseph was a layup last week for Kyle. But even that, we saw that it wasn't terribly lopsided in Kyle's favor.
No, and that's why, like, when I'm watching whoever said that, I literally turned to my girlfriend and sister and I was like, but he just beat Wes. Mm-hmm. Like, he just beat Wes. So it's like, and it wasn't a puzzle. It wasn't like, oh, it's a puzzle. And next week it's going to be Hall Brawl, you know, which you've mentioned a couple times. So that's going to be exciting. And obviously, if Devin gets in against anybody in that, he's going to get the shit kicked out of him. You know, it happens. What are you going to do? But, like, there's no way you can sit there and say, it's easy. It's easy. We got him. We got, like, not for nothing. As much as I think Jay can scrap it with the best of them, Jay versus Devin isn't lopsided. Devin versus I don't know, Michi is definitely not lopsided. Like, if Nam is going against Devin in a Hall Brawl, yeah, Devin's dead. But anything else where it's some sort of technique or anything like that, I forget who went against Leo today in the challenge. It was Darrell. And Darrell said he's got the technique and all of a sudden he's doing some move on me. And clearly this guy knows what he's doing. Well, yeah, if you have a technique, sometimes that's what you need to actually beat the strongest person in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's why there's the whole joke of if you're doing squat, make sure you what is it? You got to lift and twist, because, you know, that's the whole Family Guy thing where you lift and twist, you're going to pull your back out. It doesn't matter how strong you are. But if you have perfect form, you're going to be able to lift more weight than some people who might be just stronger people than you. I feel like that's what we're seeing a little bit of in this right now. So I'm happy for Devin. What do you think about the Nicole situation and, I guess, a little bit of the Liv situation, which, by the way, Liv is partnered with Michi. Those are two people on this season.
I don't see how you have this type of challenge and not think someone's going to get injured.
I know.
It's straight up wrestling. They were even like, hey, if you throw them off the back, there's no net there. No harness. We're not keeping you on the truck. You're just on the road afterwards.
Yeah, there was definitely something keeping them from falling off the back, because if you fall off the back of a truck that's moving 50 miles an hour, you're going to die. Yes. You're going to legitimately die. And so, I mean, hopefully they just took it upon themselves and said push to the sides. But I was looking at the back. There was something blocking there, because if somebody falls off the back, I'm pretty sure MTV, even though they can't be sued, I'm pretty sure the rest of America would be like, yo, you know what, MTV, we actually don't like watching people die or become paraplegics on your network. So we're done.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's just wrestling. Wrestling's already something where people get injured all the time, especially inexperienced wrestlers. Yeah. And we have someone like the fact that it's Nicole that gets injured and who, you know, probably knows how to handle that type of situation, and not someone like Big D who's never been in a conflict before.
Yeah.
Right? And technique's so important in wrestling. And you have two people wrestling at each other, yeah, someone's going to get hurt because they don't know what they're doing, especially when you're throwing them off of a truck moving at 50 miles per hour.
Moving at 50 miles an hour. Exactly. And that's kind of like what gets me is I'm like, I get doing the physical challenges and making it exciting and all that. As much as Nicole's voice irritated me, I don't want to watch Nicole go home like this. Like, I to me, that's not good TV. You know, it's the same reason why I think Survivor has backed off a little bit on their challenges, because they don't want Caleb situations. They don't want Courtney Moon situations. They want situations where people are getting voted out of the game. Ultimately, that's where the most drama is. And for Nicole to go here, it might be good for their numbers, because now there's, you know, now, oh, good, we just kind of got through a little double boot there or something, whatever you want to do. And now we're down. We went from what? They started with 30 people or 38 people, whatever. How many people? 30 people. And now we're down to 26 instead of 27. So it made it move a little bit faster. But I don't want to watch that happen. And then for Liv to also get hurt and say that in the X-ray, there's a chip in her arm. Okay, interesting. Interesting. We'll see how that ends up actually progressing. But it sucks that Nicole had to go home. And I've dislocated my shoulders numerous times. I say that all the time. But when that happens again and again and again and again. Normally it goes back in. I have to think that she probably either tore something in her shoulder so that being a firefighter, she wanted to go home, or that she had separated, she had done something to her collarbone or her actual rotator cuff or something. Because otherwise, you know, she would have been able to figure it out.
But, yeah, I agree.
So, all right, let's talk about that. The matchups though here. So the way that this was run was just based on time. Whoever the best time wins. How do we feel about that? Considering clearly these matchups, I mean, Leo gets punished for going against Darrell. Darrell gets punished for going against Leo. Like, how do we feel about that?
I don't know. And we know that there is a time limit. So it wasn't even someone, it's whoever does finish it first, because we have this time limit, which was longer than 10 minutes, apparently. Because there was one point where TJ calls out 10 more minutes. It's like, oh, okay, this is long. But it seemed weird to be time-based for this type of thing, where it could it would just be like an eliminator challenge, where it's like people go on again after they win. But I guess by making it the time-based, you are minimizing potential injuries because you don't have many additional conflicts happening.
Or, I mean, you know how else you could minimize injuries is like, just one, don't have it being a moving truck. Two, have it just be like over water. And problem solved. Nicole's still in the game. Liv's arm's okay. And you just go back and forth. Okay, this duo beat that duo. Next team's up. And you just do it as a bracket. Like, it's not that difficult. And I feel like they, you know, they go over the special effects and, oh, look how crazy this is. Whoa, it's a moving car. At the end of the day, like, I don't care, to be honest with you. I thought this was a very boring challenge because half of them just ended. Like, half of them, there was no winner. What's the point of watching something if there's not going to be a winner?
Yeah, I agree. And then the ones that we did have winners turned out to be the semantics of who was able to keep their foot on the longest while they were both falling off the edge.
Yeah, which, like, since when was that the rule? That was not established to us until Wes told us afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand that. Gabby does a great job. Leo does a great job. And the reward is that Gabby threw them off first, and then they're not even qualified for one of the final three teams to actually get it. It was Natalie and Wes.
Yeah.
It was Natalie and Wes, Leroy and Casey, and Nam and Lolo. And somehow Nam and Lolo weren't the fastest one. They went against Teresa and Jay. I thought they absolutely wiped the floor with Teresa and Jay. I'm really surprised they weren't the fastest ones.
Yeah, it's a good question, but it's one of those editing things where it's really hard to gauge how long these things are happening.
It's almost like they're trying to set it up for a later thing, too, with Lolo and Nam. I feel like they're going to be like the last two remaining. We've talked about this, but they're going to be like the last two remaining rookies, or they're going to be the new stars of the show where they keep coming back. I feel like they're trying to set Lolo and Nam up for the long haul here, whereas people like, and I guess Amber M has played before, correct? She's not a rookie.
I know, she's a rookie.
And so is Amber B. Both Ambers are rookies.
Both Ambers are rookies.
Okay, like they're not setting them up to be, you know, main characters.
No, we're not getting that edit for them. Whereas we see Dom in almost every scene, it seems like.
Yeah. Even when he's not talking. Even when he, like, he didn't say much tonight, but I feel like we see him a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we get that with Lolo, or we at least get people talking about Lolo a lot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Ambers, we don't really get much. It was nice having Amber B talk tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, getting to see part of that Amber B Darrell interaction was nice. But yeah, they're not being set up the way other rookies are being set up.
At all. No, like, pretty much not at all. I got to cross some stuff off as we go here. Okay. Going back to the beginning now, we've talked a lot about the challenges, which, you know, ultimately this show is based on, but there is some strategy that goes in. What did we think about Fessy revealing to everybody the big secret?
Absolutely the worst possible way he could have done that.
Yeah.
Doing totally. It as an emotional response to Kyle calling him out, not warning his allies about it, not running it by Anissa before shouting it out. Absolutely the worst possible way he could reveal this very, very powerful amount of information.
Yeah. And then it ends up pissing Corey off because he's like, well, what did he say? He was mad about Fessy not talking to him about the votes, like, and just like letting it be out there, like, that this is what happened. And, you know, if Fessy and Anissa had chosen to tell some people beforehand, fine. But to just throw it out there to somebody who you're clearly not aligned with, Fessy's just digging himself a hole. And, like, to me, Fessy and Josh, yes, they're entertaining, but Fessy and Josh, I can just do away with. Like, I'm not getting anything from them. And I know I keep messing this up, but they're both Big Brother, right?
They are.
Yeah, it makes total sense that they're both Big Brother because they're just totally awful. Like, they're really, they're fun TV, but in terms of like actually how they're playing this game, I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, what is the purpose of anything that you're doing right now between Josh's attitude and temper and then Fessy just kind of seeming like he's in over his head, despite the fact that really up until this point, he's had the most power in the game. And so I don't get it.
That's the thing. I don't know why you would spill it at that point either, because saying it before seeing what the next daily was and having a chance to be the double agent, it's possible that Fessy and Issa could win this again and then just be double agent again and not have to tell anyone. So, like, giving up that much strategic power for no reason makes no sense whatsoever.
No sense. And now that you've told it, now that you didn't pick and choose, everybody in the house is now going to know. Mm-hmm. Everybody's now going to know. So, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's the worst thing you could possibly do. And I understand wanting to put Kyle on the spot, but you're also putting Kyle on the spot by putting yourself on the spot. And Kyle, who's a total pain in the ass, is just going to turn it around on you. Like, Kyle's an instigator and you're giving him ammunition to instigate.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kyle can just go around and like, oh, did you guys know Fessy and Issa knew exactly who you voted for? And we saw how Wes turned it around, because Wes was just like, oh, now I know who voted against me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's going to lead to drama, obviously, further down the line. But, like, you know, now everybody knows. And I just think you're revealing a lot of information there, because right now there should only be four people who know. And then Cam would probably know at this point. But that's really all that should know. So it's just crazy to me.
It was just pointless to give that information away, especially when your alliance is so big. And there are so many people who could win that power and become the double agent so that you can keep all that information under wraps.
Yeah. 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 Because what would it be? I mean, pretty much I can't keep track of the numbers, but it's got to be 18 people, I think, who voted in. I tried to look real quick when it was up there, but I think it was four rows of four and then two. I could be wrong, but 18 out of 27, you got 2/3 of the house on your side.
Exactly.
Not so anymore, but 2/3 of the house.
Yeah. And if they keep going this way, if they keep going with this loose lips on information, if they keep going in this approach where they decide, hey, we're just going to keep throwing these specific people in to try to get them eliminated, we're just going to get to a point in the season where no one's going to know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's already starting to happen, because I just feel like, everybody knew they were going to throw in Wes and Natalie today or whatever it was, because they knew it was a man elimination. But, you know, I'm reading the comment here. Where was it? It was the one where GRR, they could still target Devin even with Cam on his team by just voting for them on male elimination days. I don't feel like the challenge is going to be that simple, where it's just going to keep doing this alternating, because then it's just too easy to figure out what's going to happen. I do feel like that there's going to be some times where it's a female elimination when you think it's going to be a male elimination, or it's going to be a male elimination when you think it's going to be a female. I would not be surprised at all if next week it was a male elimination because Nicole went out to even up the numbers. And it would throw people off a little bit. So maybe that's what happens. Maybe it throws people off the scent. Maybe there's a double elimination where the team actually does matter, whatever it ends up being. But I feel like right now, like you said, they don't know where, like, they're going to get to a point where they don't know where they're going, what they're going to do, what the next move is going to be, especially when the challenge does something that's going to subvert their expectations. And that's really going to throw them off, because yes, tonight it was a male elimination. But what if they had thrown Devin in and then said, okay, we're going to throw in, you know, Natalie and Wes. And then it's like, but actually it's female elimination tonight. And then it ends up being somebody else who goes in. I mean, Devin was trying to make a push for Tori and Corey. But what if it went to the second most number of votes and now it's Tori versus Natalie, and Natalie beats Tori again. Natalie gets the two skulls or whatever, or she keeps her skull or whatever it would be. Maybe they throw a skull out, maybe they don't. But if Natalie beats Tori, now you've lost Tori and you didn't mean to do that. Like, they got a little cocky tonight. It worked in their favor, but there's going to be a point where it's going to switch up, I would think.
Absolutely. And I think it was incredibly risky to be putting Devin down there. Mm-hmm. Incredibly risky to be voting him in, just because you don't have that guarantee that it's men's elimination. And they even mentioned it when we got to that point where they put Wes and Natalie down. It's like, oh, good, it's a men's elimination. It's like, you guys should have been thinking about this beforehand. Because if it wasn't a men's elimination, this could have gone completely sideways for you.
Completely sideways. Like, that could have really upended this game big time. Like, it could have upended it big time. And I would have loved that. And you know what? I think we're going to get some of those things moving forward. So I'm going to be very excited about that. But, yeah, I personally, I'm happy Devin went in. I'm happy Devin won. I'm happy he beat Wes, even though I liked Wes. I think Devin is so much more entertaining. I feel like Devin's going to cause a lot more drama. But I would have loved it even more if it said team elimination. Devin's not going in, and we're going to bring Corey and Tori down now. And it's Corey and Tori versus Natalie and Wes going head to head. Boom. Like, let's see what happens. And then the next one's a men's elimination or the next one's a female elimination. But that's what I want to see. That would have been entertaining. And I, like I said, I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get something like that. But there was a big opportunity tonight. And I think they took a big risk putting Devin in there.
I agree. So the big question is, did production plan for this to be a men's elimination the entire time? Or did they change it after Nicole was injured?
Well, and I had the theory that they would do men, women, double, men, women, double, or men, women, double, women, men, double, something like that. So I think tonight could have been a double.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Nicole went down this early in the game, they said, just make it a men's elimination. Just do whatever. If Devin goes in, make it a men's elimination. If it's a pair, maybe they still would have done a double elimination. I don't know, but I'm sure, like, by them not saying, Devin, you're now safe and you're a rogue agent, it pretty much signaled like, hey, this is going to be a men's elimination. Like, I think it became a little obvious there. Maybe that wasn't always going to be the case, but I think they would have said to them, hey, it's actually going to be a double, so you can't vote Devin in if it was going to be that. But we'll never know, because it doesn't seem like MTV really spills their guts here on any of this stuff. So
no,
not at all. All right. So Devin gets voted in. Leroy votes in Wes and Natalie. All that happens. Devin wins. Devin's screaming at everybody. Devin's trolling really hard. Tori's literally crying. What do we think about, you know, we always go through the pairs here kind of at the end, but what do we think about Devin and Tori moving forward, considering Tori obviously hates that she's paired with him?
We had that moment earlier in the episode where Cam was saying, Kyle, like, listen, I'm just going to win an elimination and cut you. Mm-hmm. So we know that they're thinking about this type of thing. Tori's probably thinking a similar thing. Tori, I think, is thinking, oh, no, Devin is causing so many problems in this house. I'm going to have a target on my back because of this now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Devin's going to care, in all honesty. I think he's just going to be like, yeah, okay, Tori, I already proved myself. Go for it. So
go ahead.
It might make things a little more hectic, I think. I think we're going to see a more laissez-faire attitude from Devin moving forward, and I think it's going to be great TV because of it.
I think Devin's whole goal right now, and you know what? I don't blame him, is to get punched in the face. I think that is legitimately his goal. He is going the Johnny Fairplay and Pearl Islands route. That is his goal, because in that game, Johnny Fairplay wanted Rupert to punch him. He wanted Sean to punch him. He would egg those people on as much as he could, and they came close a couple times. And he'd say, I want you to hit me. Please hit me, because then you're eliminated from the game. Mm-hmm. And in a game for money, and especially when it is sex versus sex, so you know that you're only going against the men, troll the shit out of Josh. Because Josh put a dent in the wall because he's got roid rage or whatever he's got. Like, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's got something going on there where he can't keep himself calm. He punches the wall. Imagine that's Devin's head. Good, Josh, you got your kicks. Now you're out of the game. That's what Devin needs to play like right now, because he's just got to keep pushing people's buttons. And it's clearly not that hard to do. And I mean, I wouldn't want to be at a party with Josh, because I just mouth off. Like that's what I do. And I love in the preview for next week, Jay sitting there saying, you do realize, like, I'm not one of those people. You're not going to talk to me like this. Cut the shit. And I love that from Jay, because at the end of the day, like, you can't just let that kind of guy, because he's all big and strong, walk all over you. We've all been punched in the face before. Maybe not you, John, because you're a nice guy, but we've all been punched in the face before. It sucks for a little bit, but unless you really get pummeled, you're not going to die. Mm-hmm. Jay's not going to sit there and take this from Josh just because he's got muscles. Josh needs to calm the hell down. He's got to calm down. And hopefully he doesn't calm down, because I would love to see him punch somebody. I don't really care who it is.
Yeah. They're bringing the TV. They're bringing the drama. And this type of drama is what makes the challenge so great. Because we do get those challenges, and we also get the MTV drama. Mm-hmm. And everyone just pushing each other's buttons. And you just love to hate it.
Yeah. And like I always say when we talk about Survivor, the Amazing Race, it's an edited show. Mm-hmm. I don't hate Josh, but he clearly has very thin skin. Nothing bad was said to you tonight. Maybe somebody talked about your mom at some point and we didn't hear it, but nothing bad was said about you tonight. Like, you got to calm down there. If Big Brother sucks is all it takes to like really drive you crazy, dude, how do you go out on a Saturday night? Like, how do you go to a bar? Because people are going to say worse things than that accidentally that you're going to overhear. Like, how can you do that? It blows my mind that a man as old as Josh is can get through his life as long as he has without being in prison. Like, if that's really how it is. Now, I get it. It's MTV. It's edited. That's the point. But there's not always going to be security guards in double masked, in case anybody knows, double masked, there to protect you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The other new team is now going to be Natalie and Corey. What do we think about Natalie and Corey?
I think Corey got a very strong partner out of this.
Yeah.
He might even be an upgrade over Tori. And now that Natalie doesn't have Wes there, I think we're going to see a little more, bit more of Natalie now playing a social game, because I think with Wes as her partner, she kind of has to step back a bit because Wes is already pushing people's buttons. I think we're going to get more of that like late game Natalie come in, and we're going to see some sparks fly.
Yeah. And you read my mind on that question of like, is this better and can she start playing now? Because Natalie, the whole time, it feels like she's had a target on her back because of Wes. Does the target now disappear? I know she has a skull and I know she is a Survivor winner, but does the target disappear at least a little bit now because she is teamed up with somebody who is technically in the alliance? And what woman in their right mind is going to want to go up against Natalie in any of these challenges?
Yeah, Natalie's also comes from the CBS family, right? So it's not like she doesn't have these connections to that Big Brother group anyways. Sure. So she's more ingrained in that now. And yeah, Natalie's the last person I'd want to go up against in an elimination.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Natalie, actually, I think this is the best thing for her. I mean, they called her stupid early on. I think it was Wes, or I think it was CT, who early on said she was dumb for whatever she did by staying with Wes. People were saying that. But I think that this worked out the best for her. She doesn't get her hands dirty. She doesn't look like bad. She's not infiltrating. She's just like, sure, now I'm in a good position. And I doubt anybody's going to be voting Corey and Natalie in right off the bat, just because if it is for some reason a double elimination, there are even men and women right now. If that type of thing were to happen, then you don't want to go up against Natalie really or Corey in that situation, because they're both very strong. And I know, you know, look, there's a lot of guys out there who have a lot of muscle, but clearly not every single challenge is going to be about muscle, or they wouldn't be throwing people out there like Devin and Jay and you know, whoever else. So that's just what I have to say. Even Kyle. Kyle's not that big of a guy. I think I could take Kyle. Don't tell him, because he'd probably beat me up, but I think I could take him. And then we finally got our first look tonight at CT and Big T. What's your take on the Fuzzy Bunny and the Hawk?
I love the approach they're taking. I love these two. I think CT's always been a fantastic character, and Big T is such a big personality, and she's so fun to watch. She's kind of, she has this very like naivete. Yeah, naivete to her, in which she's never been in a fight before, and she doesn't really do the conflict well, and she isn't the biggest and strongest, but she's so fun to watch. And it's just like her little quips and the personality she exudes is so contagious and so fun to be a part of.
I guess when I was talking about earlier how Cam was the only real female character, I feel like on this season, Big T is also one of them. It's just, I don't think I'm going to pair up with Big T if I get to choose, because Big T got her ass kicked today. Who did she have to go up against? She got her by Anissa. Anissa literally like ate her for lunch there. That was ridiculous. Anissa was just like, nope, we are not doing this. Toodles. And then CT and Fessy had a great battle that ended up timing out. So Anissa being great against Big T, did nothing for anybody.
Exactly.
It was completely pointless. So yeah, that was a good one there. We didn't really hear much from Lolo and Nam tonight. They kind of took a little bit more of a backseat. Michi came to life a little bit because he had a little bit of strength when he threw Corey in. Were you surprised Michi was able to beat Corey?
Yes, only because we didn't know what Michi could do. And he cramped up in the last challenge.
That's right.
So all we really knew about him was if he swims in cold water, he can't move. So yeah, I was a little
being a human being, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was a little surprised, but at the same time, he attacked it with better technique, and that's what it takes to win something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Leroy and Casey ended up being double agents, so we talked a lot about them. Darrell and Amber, not really too much going on with them tonight. Amber did tell us that she played rugby. That's the extent. And then she proceeded to get her ass kicked. She played rugby and then was immediately thrown into the net. That was one of my favorite things. Anissa and Fessy. So Fessy's going crazy. What do we like? Anissa kind of took a backseat tonight. Anything really to report on Anissa, or are we just feeling bad for Anissa because Fessy's just running around telling everybody everything?
I feel bad because Fessy is just giving away all these secrets. Like, she had so much power, and Fessy's just like, here guys, have this power that Anissa has. And it was so nice to see Anissa with power early in a season of the challenge. But now we're just going to see typical Anissa. She'll fade into the background for a while. Mm-hmm. And then eventually someone will be like, it's time to go eliminate Anissa.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like everything that we've seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense then. We have, let me see here, just as we roll through, Josh and Nani. Didn't really hear much from Nani tonight. She just said Natalie could beat her up, which it seems to be that's really the only story coming from any of the women out here right now. Amber, M, and Nelson. First time we didn't get a Nelly nickname, which is a little disappointing, but Amber M did have a little bit of something or something in there. Anything on the two of them that you have to report on?
No, there's just still not enough information about them. We haven't seen them strategizing at all. We haven't seen them in any of these house conversations. They lost the daily today. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't a lot about them.
Yeah, there really wasn't much in there at all. Teresa and Jay got their doors blown off. Are Teresa and Jay an easy target right now that if you want to pick a pair, you'd pick them? I know you said Teresa's pretty good at challenges and stuff, but with what they did tonight, I'm not too scared of them.
I mean, they were also up against Lolo and Nam.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's hard to judge based on that, but yeah, I'd say they're probably one of the weaker pairs.
Yeah, that's a bummer, and it doesn't seem like they're in enough drama to get split up.
Not right now. Definitely
yeah, but
not.
Next week.
Maybe next week, but
if you have to watch a hall brawl of Josh versus Jay, that's a waste of everybody's time. I hope Jay wins, but come on.
Unless Josh falls flat on his face and Jay can just run over top of him,
how the hell is that going to happen?
Oh, you'd be amazed to see what happens in some of these hall brawls.
I am excited to see what's going to happen in the hall brawl next week. I'm very much anticipating it. Kyle and Cam, seems like Cam's still doing her thing. Kyle's always the center of attention.
Cam's just running the two, and that's just what it comes down to.
Cam going to win the thing, or do you not think so? You think she's going to get bit?
I think she's going to get bit. I think it's just inevitable at this point. At some point, someone's going to be like, Cam, we are tired of you running everything. Mm-hmm. You're the one to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to happen at some point. And I think it's going to be soon, because if Leroy starts doing this whole, I'm going to get rid of people just because Cam's telling me to, people are going to be like, all right, Leroy, enough of that. Let's go get Cam. Yeah. Leo and Gabby. So while Leo was battling really hard with Darrell, correct? It was Darrell?
Yep.
Gabby, like, tossed Amber B, no problem.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen Gabby really do anything. What's our thoughts on that?
I was impressed, especially after we get told that Amber B played rugby.
Yeah.
So Gabby's got some fight in her, and I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, it gives me hope because Gabby, I thought Gabby was just a sitting duck, and now it's like, all right, maybe not. Here comes Gabby, ready to roll. Yeah. I think that's it. I think that covers pretty much all of the teams from this week. Yep. It's on next week again. I mean, they had it on Christmas Eve Eve, so I'm assuming they're going to have it on New Year's Eve Eve. I doubt anybody's going out and partying on December 30th anywhere in the world. So, yeah, so it's just going to keep on plowing right on through. Any parting thoughts before I wrap this thing up?
Next week looks like it's going to be fun, just from that preview.
Yeah.
The preview, a hall brawl is always fun. It's a classic challenge. And to have more drama, I'm very excited. I hope this snippet that we get of Jay is not all we get of Jay next episode, because I'm seriously lacking him on my screen right now.
Yeah, he was barely in tonight.
So hopefully we get more Jay next week and everything starts heating up now that Wes is out of the house.
Yeah.
We're going to need someone else to start eating up screen time.
Absolutely. Yeah, Wes was a big character. It seems like Wes and CT are like the two biggest stars here, which is funny to me because CT doesn't seem all that interesting. But anyway, I like CT, but he's not like a – when you look at some of the rest of the characters on this season, CT's not really.
Yeah.
All right, well – we'll be back again next Wednesday, the day before the new year. So probably be the last podcast of this wretched year. John and I will be signing off on 2020. We will be putting our stamp on this MF-er and we will get the hell on with our lives. But if you're not a patron, go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist. It's in the bio here or in the link description. We're going to be doing a lot more come January. We were doing a lot over the summer, kind of slowed down November and December. I was moving and Alexa had a lot going on. So we're going to be doing a lot more come January, February, March, all of that. Maybe even do some challenge related stuff. Maybe we can start getting some other shows involved, especially since Monday night, we're going to be having Hung and Chi from The Amazing Race on the podcast. Alexa and I will be talking to Hung and Chi, breaking down what happened on The Amazing Race and the greatest finale of all time. We will also be talking – we have a couple other things Survivor-related kind of on the horizon. We just did a stocking stuffers Patreon episode. So if you haven't signed up for Patreon, now's a good time. January is going to be a much better month than what November and December were, although still kind of worth it. Other than that, Alexa and McKenna are still doing their Australian Survivor rewatch, which is on Monday nights. As I said, we're going to have Hung and Chi. We're going to be doing more Survivor stuff probably in the new year. We have some things out maybe to Peridium and to Mike Bloom. So we're going to be talking to them again at some point in the near future. Otherwise, keep enjoying the challenge. Have a Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. If you don't, have a good December 25th. Anyway, go get some Chinese food because that's supposedly what everybody does if they don't celebrate Christmas. John, thanks again for being here. Thanks for teaching me what the challenge is actually all about. And we'll be back next week.